Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
First Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. And as we read it, I'm going to ask that the kids pay special attention and to see where Christmas is mentioned in this passage, in this letter that Paul has written to this young minister named Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 12, follow along with me as I read aloud. This is God's holy, authoritative, and inspired word. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Since the reading of God's word, and may he add his blessing unto it. Again, encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this portion of Scripture together. You'll find in your bulletin a place where if you'd like to take notes, you may, and I will do my best to assist you in your note-taking, in your sermon notes. But before we look at this passage, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, once again we turn to you. And as we read your word, Lord, that we ask that by your Spirit that you'll give us understanding, that you illumine us. Lord, that you will minister to not only our minds, but our hearts and our affections and our wills. Lord, may we see Christ Jesus in this passage. May we see the story of Christmas in these words. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say together, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to begin this morning by asking you, what is Christmas all about? What is Christmas all about? Now, if you're familiar enough with Charlie Brown's Christmas, you know that's the question that Charlie Brown asks. He asks on the stage. And this past week, as I was preparing for this message this past week, I came across some very interesting facts about Charlie Brown's Christmas. And you'll note that in Charlie Brown's Christmas, when Charlie Brown asks that question, it's Linus who responds. And Linus says this, quote, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not." Now, if you're observant of Charlie Brown's Christmas story, it's at that point that he says, fear not, that Linus drops his blanket. It's then that he drops his blanket. And Charles Schulz put that in there on purpose, for the purpose to let you know that Linus, the one who never lets go of the blanket, the one who always finds security in that, it's dragged everywhere and everyone tries to take it from him. It's then that he lets go of the blanket. Because his security, Charles Schulz's picture there is Linus's security is in Jesus Christ, is in the babe, the one that the angels say, fear not. He goes on and says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. It's at that point that Linus picks up his blanket again, and he looks at Charlie Brown, and he says, that's what Christmas is all about. Paul knows a little bit about Christmas too. Paul here is writing this letter to encourage a young Timothy, a close brother in Christ. He's encouraging him as he stays behind at the church in Ephesus and being bombarded by false teaching, bombarded about various issues. It's Paul who encourages Timothy with similar words. Maybe it wasn't necessarily that Timothy had a security blanket. But Paul reminds Timothy of these words. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's as if Paul says, this is what Christmas is all about, Timothy. Believe it. Speak it. Live it. Paul, as he begins this letter, is reminding Timothy that in the midst of all these false teachings, in the midst of all these various things that are bombarding this young pastor, Paul reminds Timothy of God's grace that we find at Christmas. Paul is saying, remember the gospel. Timothy, remember what Christmas is all about. And so let's look at this passage together this morning to see Paul's words to Timothy and how it fits with the Christmas account, the Christmas story that we have recently celebrated, and maybe now we're transitioning. Maybe some of us have already got our decorations gone and put away for the year. Maybe some of us are already trying to turn the corner and say, you know what, I'm tired of Christmas. But in all reality, as brothers and sisters of Christ, we can never be really ultimately tired of Christmas. So let's look at this passage together this morning. Our first point is this, is that Christmas is about salvation. Christmas is about salvation. Look with me at the end of verses 13 and 14. Let's start there. Paul is reminding Timothy of God's salvation. Verse 13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul here is showing Timothy, look, God has shown me four things. God has shown me his mercy. God has shown me his grace. God has shown me faith. God has shown me his love. And Paul is saying to Timothy in the midst of his ministry, remember these things. Remember these four things. God's mercy and God's grace, God's faith and God's love. Excuse me, God's faithfulness and God's love. Isn't that what we remember at Christmas too? Isn't that what we remember? Kids, it's really easy for us to, even as adults, for us to become blinded and to think it's about getting you the biggest, best gift you've ever wanted. It's easy for us to try to match that wish list that you give to us. But there's one gift that we've been given that's better than anything we could ever imagine. It's the gift that's born in a manger. It's Christ the babe, the Lord of all, as we've just sung. It's Christ the King whom angels guard and shepherds guard and angels sing, as we'll sing in a little bit. The gospel, the Christmas story is about salvation. Paul knows it. Paul is the last person we would expect. Paul was the one who even says here, I'm a blasphemer, I'm a persecutor, I'm a violent man. It's Saul the persecutor that now becomes Paul the preacher. Why? Because he knows the salvation that is his in Jesus Christ. Paul knows that even though he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Benjamite, he was a Pharisee, he was a law keeper, he was perfect. He says in Philippians, he considers that all rubbish in comparison to the riches that is in Christ Jesus. He says in this passage to Timothy, I was shown mercy even when he was ignorant. Even when I was unbelieving, he was shown mercy. He goes on and says that the grace of the Lord was, quote, poured out on me. There's a Greek word there. It's the word hyper. We hear of hypersensitivity. We hear of hyperactivity. Paul is talking about hyper grace, super abounding grace. And it floods over this man who was a blasphemer. It floods over this man who was a persecutor. It floods over this man who was a violent man who sought to seek to destroy the church, and instead he preaches in the church. This grace and this mercy floods over Paul like the Lake Michigan waves continue to hit the beaches over and over and over again. And Paul will write to the Corinthian church that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. I hope we truly believe that. I hope we truly, as we hide that word and those words in our heart. Because maybe as we think back on Christmas, maybe some of us didn't find it very sufficient. Maybe some of us found it lacking. Maybe some of us found it that was missing something. You see, the average Christian in our culture will look at that, the average person in our culture will cynically look at that as being way too simplistic, way too naive. God's grace is sufficient for us. And yet, that's what the Scriptures teach. That's what Paul teaches here to Timothy, that God's grace is sufficient. Paul didn't ask for more. Paul saw God's grace. Paul experienced God's mercy on the road to Damascus. Paul has experienced God's faithfulness to him, God's love for him in Christ Jesus. And he's reminding Timothy, that's what we need too. And he's reminding us as well. The Christmas story is more than just lights and sounds. It's about Jesus. Do you know God's grace? Have you experienced God's mercy? Do you know His faithfulness even when we're unfaithful? How God's loved us even when we were unlovable? What did we read for our assurance of pardon? That God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. This is love, not that we love, but because He first loved us. Paul will write in Romans, God demonstrated His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. That's mercy. And that's love. That's God's faithfulness to us. So let's remember that as we close out this Christmas season. But let's not forget it once it's over. Let us continue to remember that Christmas is about salvation, that the gospel is about salvation, that ministry is about salvation, that the good news is salvation through Christ Jesus. Now, this leads us to our second point this morning, and that's this, is that not only is Christmas about salvation, but Christmas is also about sinners, Verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. If you're here and you look at yourself as being a good church member, then you're missing the point. Christ came to save sinners. If you look at yourself and say, you know what, you're patting yourself on the back and say, look, I'm here, I'm here, and I'm going to be here tonight. I'm one of those twofer Christians, and I think the importance of two services, and that's extremely important, and you pat yourself on the back, you're missing the point. If you're here because you think, well, you know what, you look around, you say, you know what, I could be a lot worse. I could be like that person over there, or I could be like this person over here. And you look at yourself and say, yeah, I got a few faults, I got a few shortcomings, but you know what, overall, I'm a pretty decent person. You're missing the point. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He didn't come for the proud. He didn't come for those who thought they were dignified. He didn't come for those who thought they were worthy on their own. He came to save sinners. Paul will go on and say, this is a trustworthy saying. Paul will use it 5 times in his letters. He will use it 3 times in this book. He will use it once in 2 Timothy. And he will use it again. He will use it in the book of Titus. He will say, this is a trustworthy saying. This is something that we can hang our hats on. This is something we can drop the blanket upon. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're not going to know the breadth of God's grace and God's mercy until we know the depth of our sins. The more we walk with God, the more that we are aware of how sinful we can be. Alexander McLaren will write these words, quote, the sign of growing perfection is the growing consciousness of imperfection. The more you become like Christ, the more you will find out your unlikeness to Him. Paul recognizes this. Paul will look at the road to Damascus. He will repeat that conversion story some 6 times in the New Testament. It meant a lot to him about knowing the grace of God upon this sinner. And Paul will recognize, I am the worst of sinners. Paul's aware of it. He has said in other places, I'm the least of the apostles, I'm the least of the saints, I'm the chief of all sinners. He's a blasphemer. He's a violent man. He was a persecutor. And yet here Paul begins and he says, I am thankful for Christ Jesus who has given me strength, who's considered me faithful, who appointed me to service. Paul didn't choose this on his own. But God did for him. Chose this sinner into this ministry. When we think about Christmas, we can go a lot of different ways regarding the Christmas story. There are some that believe that this is just a cute little story in our world. There are others who will look at it and their hearts are filled with praise. Their hearts are filled with joy, and that's true too. But the one aspect about the Christmas story we must not forget is that that babe was born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago to save sinners. That manger was the beginning of the road to the cross. That Jesus Christ was born so that no man may die, as we sing in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. As we say, we'll sing in What Child Is This, that nails and spears that pierced him. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why the manger's there. That's why the angels come. That's why the shepherds come and proclaim and praise him. That's why the magi travel from a distance. Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And see, that Christmas story still penetrates the hardened hearts today. It still can change sinners and work in their lives. And we must not forget that too. That the Christmas story is for sinners, even the worst. Sinners are, that the Christmas story is for those who struggle with a variety of sins. Even the heinous, gross ones that we would maybe look upon and say, that is disgusting, that is horrible, and yet the Christmas story is for them. It's proclaimed in our prisons. It's proclaimed on our streets. It's proclaimed in the homeless shelters. It's proclaimed in dark places in our world where the gospel is hated. That's why Jesus came. That's one reason why he came, is to save sinners like you and like me. And you see, if we're all honest with ourselves, we all need to hear the Christmas story, not just during December, but we all need to remember the Christmas story throughout the year, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. We must remember that. And then rejoice because of his grace and mercy. The Christmas story is about salvation. The Christmas story is about sinners. And that leads to our third and final point this morning, that is that the Christmas is about service. For those of you who are Dutch Reformed, you saw what I just did, didn't you? The old sin salvation service. We see that here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 right here. Because that's what Christmas is about. It's about service. What did the shepherds do when they saw the babe? They went and proclaimed and told all that what they had seen. The Magi travels a distance. Simeon and Anna later on will rejoice and praise God. And Paul here enters into service to the Lord because of Christmas. You see, if we know our sinfulness, if we know the depths of our sinfulness, if we know the greatness of God's salvation, then we are going to want to serve Him. And not just during 1 month of the year. We would want to serve Him 24 hours, 7 days a week. There's a secular Christmas song that we've probably heard far too many times this past month for Listen to the Radio. It's a song that many of us remember from back during the famine in Ethiopia, where the British singers would sing, "Do they know it's Christmas time at all?" And I might want to twist that a little bit this morning and ask, do they know it's Christmas time for us? Do the people around us know how much Christmas impacts us? Paul is impacted greatly by this Christmas story. Notice four things that we find that Paul, and when Paul serves his Savior. Notice there are four characteristics we find in this passage. First of all, this: Christmas makes us thankful. Christmas makes us thankful. He begins with, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength." Kids, I hope you said thank you this past week. I hope when you got those gifts that you said, thank you. I hope you weren't like some kids that maybe we see on the internet or hear of who get a gift and throw a fit. There was a viral video going around this past week where a young boy got a video game. He wanted, I don't even know what game it was, but it was the 2016 version. And his mom bought him the 2015 version, and he threw a fit. Ungrateful. Christmas makes us thankful. It helps us to, Christmas makes us offer gratitude. And so as we think about the fact that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, the first thing that should be on our lips and our hearts is to be thankful. I'm always troubled by the transition that we have in our society from Thanksgiving to Christmas, because it's becoming one that isn't much of a transition. I joke around with guys at work and say, I think they've been playing Christmas songs since July, but I'm not sure. And it feels like that. And we celebrate Thanksgiving and it becomes a hiccup into the Christmas season. It's kind of like, oh, that's right, we got to have this. We got to offer up gratitude a minute before we start begging for things that we want. Thanksgiving is something that happens all the time. And so we should be thankful. Thankful because of the Christmas story. To offer up thanksgiving because of what Christ has done for us. Part of our, and offer up thanksgiving for those opportunities we have to serve. Just as Paul does here. And reminds Timothy, be thankful. Be thankful because the opportunities to serve. Because of Christmas. Second thing we find in this passage, and we find that Christmas makes us humble. Christmas makes us humble. And we see that in verses 13 through 15. We've looked at that, but we see a sense of humility. Paul, even though he was gifted, even though he was brilliant, even though he was extremely influential to the churches in those days, Paul remained humble. He will say in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 10, he will say, by the undeserved favor of God, I am what I am. Elizabeth Elliot tells a story once of how she heard her young daughter singing to her kitten, as maybe our kids do. And this is the song she sang to her kitten. I want you to listen very carefully. She sang, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you. It's easy for us to look and point fingers. It's easy for us to see how the other person needs God's favor. How the other person needs to hear Christmas. How the other person needs to see how God transforms lives. We laugh because we know the song. We laugh because we know that we're the wretch that the song talks about, aren't we? It humbles us. And Christmas humbles us. And it should humble us if it doesn't. To think that God entered space and time for us. That Jesus Christ was born not in the riches of a palace, but in an animal feed box for us. That he was born for the sheer purpose of dying for us. But the story doesn't end there, does it? Because he rose from the dead for us too. And he ascended into heaven for us too. And he will come again for us too. Christmas should humble us. Christmas shouldn't make us proud, but it should humble us to realize just God, to know the depth of God's love for us, the depth of God's grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, his love as he's shown to Paul. Christmas makes us humble. Thirdly, Christmas will transform us. Paul will write this in verse 16. But for that very reason, I would show mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, there he is again, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as his example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Paul is saying, look, God's infinite mercy can crack any hardened heart. Paul is saying to Timothy, I'm living proof of that. Paul is saying, look, if he can save someone like me, he can save anybody. He's shown mercy to me. He can show mercy to you. Timothy, he can show mercy to the people you're ministering to. There's wording here that I want you to note. Notice it says that it might display his unlimited patience as example for those who would believe. Not for those who already are believing, but those who would believe. That this Christmas story continues on today. That Jesus Christ in the Christmas account transforms us even today and will continue to transform us and change us. You see, if we know the sovereign grace of God in our lives, then we're going to be different. Then we will grow in holiness. Then we will desire fellowship with Him. Then we will know true peace. We will know real joy, not some superficial joy, but real joy. We will know God's grace. We'll know His mercy. We will know His faithfulness. We will know His love, and that will change us. We will be different. We will desire to serve. We will want to serve. Just as Jesus came not to be served, but to serve Himself. And finally, Paul writes here that Christmas makes us worshipful. It makes us thankful. It makes us humble. It transforms us. It makes us worshipful. And that's where we look at verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul breaks forth into a doxology that comes from two Greek words, but literally means a word of glory. Paul here, as he writes to Timothy, as he writes his letter, he can't help but enter into spontaneous praise and spontaneous worship. But I want you to know what he praises God for. He praises God for the things that makes Him different than us. He didn't praise Him for communicable attributes that we may experience, that we may know, but He praises God for His incommunicable attributes because, you see, He is immortal, He is invisible, He is eternal, He is the only God. He's the King. Christmas makes us worshipful because, you see, that babe was born the King of all. That God who is eternal entered into time and space for us. That God who is immortal experienced the pains of life, experienced death for us. That He who is invisible became visible, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory full of grace and truth. That God became incarnate for us. That makes us thankful, that makes us humble, that transforms us, but that also makes us worship. And so when we sing the Christmas songs, we should sing them a little louder. We should sing them a little more joyful. We should be praising Him even more so, because all we can do is sit and wonder and adore at a being who could save, at a God who would love us so much, us who are so undeserving, who are so ungrateful, who struggle with pride, who struggle with change, that He would enter into this world to save sinners like you and me. The Christmas story turns sinners into servants. And so as we close out 2015, as we enter 2016, we look for ways to keep this Christmas story going. To serve. To be thankful, to be humble, to see the Spirit transform us, to worship Him. Paul here in these words to Timothy says that the Christmas story is about sinners. And it's about salvation. And it's about service. That's what Christmas is all about. And Linus spoke that. And now we read about Charlie Brown Christmas plays in which that's taken out, where that's completely cut out. But there's more to the story. There's more to the story that I discovered yesterday. For those of you who are on social media, you probably know where I'm going with this. You see, the story of the blanket and Charlie Brown's Christmas doesn't end there. You see, when he picks up the blanket, just as we often pick up our own insecurities and our own struggles and so on, at the end of the story, at the end of the cartoon, and if you want to watch it, just you can tell me if this article was wrong. But at the end of the story, where do we find Linus's blanket? It's wrapped around Charlie Brown's tree. And what do they sing at the end of the Charlie Brown Christmas episode? We would expect, "Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree," but what do they sing? Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Linus knew what Christmas was all about. And so did Paul. And so do we. And so as we close out this Christmas time, may we not forget what Christmas is all about. Because Christmas is for sinners. Christmas is about salvation. Christmas leads us to service. It humbles us. It makes us thankful. It transforms us. It makes us desire to worship. So we too can sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, our words are difficult to express. We live in a society that's so commercializes Christmas that it's so easy for us to forget. But Lord, we thank you that you reminded us in the Gospels of this firsthand account of the birth of our Savior. And that we see here in letters to, such as Paul's letter to Timothy, that the Christmas story continues to spread. And Lord, it changes us too. And so, Lord, we pray that we recognize your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness and your love. Not just during this time, but all the time. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And may we truly evaluate who we are so we can truly see the depth of your grace. Thank you for Christ Jesus, who came into this world to save sinners. May that be a trustworthy saying that we truly believe. And may that be something that we live and speak of. Lord, we give you thanks. And we worship you because of your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let all of God's people say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.